This is a continuation of Spiritual Exercises by St. Ignatius Loyola. This recording is provided by the Christian Classics Ethereal Library and read by Kevin Spaulding, Gastonia, North Carolina. For more information or to volunteer, please visit us on the web at www.ccel.org. Spiritual Exercises. To conquer oneself and regulate one's life without determining oneself through any tendency that is disordered. Presupposition. In order that both he who is giving the spiritual exercises and he who is receiving them may more help and benefit themselves, let it be presupposed that every good Christian is to be more ready to save his neighbor's proposition than to condemn it. If he cannot save it, let him inquire how he means it, and if he means it badly, let him correct him with charity. If that is not enough, let him seek all the suitable means to bring him to mean it well and save himself. First week, principle and foundation. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means save his soul. And the other things on the face of the earth are created for man, and that they may help him in prosecuting the end for which he is created. From this it follows that man is to use them as much as they help him on to his end, and ought to rid himself of them so far as they hinder him as to it. For this it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent to all created things in all that is allowed to the choice of our free will and is not prohibited to it, so that, on our part, we want not health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, long rather than short life, and so in all the rest desiring and choosing only what is most conducive for us to the end for which we are created. Particular and daily examine. It contains in it three times and two to examine oneself. The first time is in the morning, immediately on rising, when one ought to propose to guard himself with diligence against that particular sin or defect which he wants to correct and amend. The second time is after dinner, when one is to ask of God our Lord what one wants, namely, grace to remember how many times he has fallen into that particular sin or defect, and to amend himself in the future. Then, let him make the first examine, asking account of his soul of that particular thing proposed, which he wants to correct and amend. Let him go over, hour by hour, or period by period, commencing at the hour he rose, and continuing up to the hour and instant of the present examine, and let him make in the first line of the G, as many dots as were the times he has fallen into that particular sin or defect. Then let him resolve anew to amend himself up to the second examine, which he will make. The third time, after supper, the second examine will be made in the same way, hour by hour, commencing at the first examine and continuing up to the present second one. And let him make in the second line of the same G as many dots as were the times he has fallen into that particular sin or defect. Four additions. Follow to rid oneself sooner of that particular sin or defect. First addition. The first addition is that each time one falls into that particular sin or defect, let him put his hand on his breast, grieving for having fallen, which can be done even in the presence of many, without their perceiving what he is doing. Second addition, the second. As the first line of the G means the first examine, and the second line, the second examine, let him look at night if there is amendment from the first line to the second, that is, from the first examine to the second. Third addition, the third. to compare the second day with the first, that is, the two examines of the present day with the other two examines of the previous day, and see if he has amended himself from one day to the other. Fourth edition. The fourth edition, to compare one week with another, and see if he has amended himself in the present week over the week past. Note, it is to be noted that the first large G which follows means the Sunday, the second smaller, the Monday, the third, the Tuesday, and so on. General examine of conscience to purify oneself and to make one's confession better. I presuppose that there are three kinds of thoughts in me, that is, one my own, which springs from my mere liberty and will, and two others, which come from without, one from the good spirit and the other from the bad. Thought. There are two ways of meriting in the bad thought, which comes from without, namely, first way, a thought of committing a mortal sin, which thought I resist immediately, and it remains conquered. Second way. The second way of meriting is, when that same bad thought comes to me and I resist it, and it returns to me again and again, I always resist it until it is conquered. This second way is more meritorious than the first. A venial sin is committed when the same thought comes of sinning mortally, and one gives ear to it, making some little delay or receiving some sensual pleasure, or when there is some negligence in rejecting such thought. There are two ways of sinning mortally. First way, the first is, when one gives consent to the bad thought to act afterwards as he has consented, or to put it in act if he could. Second way, the second way of sinning mortally is when that sin is put in act. This is a greater sin for three reasons. First, because of the greater time. Second, because of the greater intensity. And third, because the greater harm to the two persons. Word. One must not swear either by creator or creature, if it be not with truth, necessity, and reverence. By necessity, I mean, not when any truth whatever is affirmed with oath, but when it is of some importance for the good of the soul, or the body, or for temporal goods. By reverence, I mean when in naming the Creator and Lord, one acts with consideration, so as to render him the honor and reverence due. It is to be noted that, though in an idle oath one sins more when he swears by the Creator than by the creature, it is more difficult to swear in the right way with truth, necessity, and reverence by the creature than by the Creator, for the following reasons. First reason. The first, when we want to swear by some creature, wanting to name the creature does not make us so attentive or circumspect as to telling the truth, or as to affirming it with necessity, as would wanting to name the Lord and Creator of all things. Second reason. The second is that in swearing by the creature, it is not so easy to show reverence and respect to the Creator as in swearing and naming the same Creator and Lord, because wanting to name God our Lord brings with it more respect and reverence than wanting to name the created thing. Therefore, swearing by the creature is more allowable to the perfect than to the imperfect, because the perfect, though continued contemplation and enlightenment of the intellect, consider, meditate, and contemplate more that God our Lord is in every creature, according to his own essence, presence, and power, and so in swearing by the creature they are more apt and prepared than the imperfect to show respect and reverence to their Creator and Lord. Third reason. The third is that in continually swearing by the creature, idolatry is to be more feared in the imperfect than in the perfect. One must not speak an idle word, By idle word, I mean one which does not benefit either me or another, and is not directed to that intention. Hence, words spoken for any useful purpose or meant to profit one's own or another's soul, the body or temporal goods, are never idle, not even if one were to speak of something foreign to one's state of life. As, for instance, if a religious speaks of wars or articles of trade, but in all that is said, there is merit in directing well, and in sin in directing badly, or speaking idly. Nothing must be said to injure another's character, or to find fault, because if I reveal a mortal sin that is not public, I sin mortally. If a venial sin, venially. And if a defect, I show a defect of my own. But if the intention is right, in two ways one can speak of the sin or fault of another. First way. The first. When the sin is public, as in the case of a public prostitute, and of a sentence given in judgment, or of a public error which is infecting the souls with whom one comes in contact. Second way. Second. When the hidden sin is revealed to some person that he may help to raise him who is in sin, supposing, however, that he has some probable conjectures or grounds for thinking that he will be able to help him. Act. Taking the Ten Commandments, the precepts of the Church, and the recommendations of superiors, every act done against any of these three heads is, according to its greater or less nature, a greater or a lesser sin. By recommendations of superiors, I mean such things as bulls de crusadas and other indulgences. As, for instance, for peace, granted under condition of going to confession and receiving the Blessed Sacrament. For one commits no little sin in being the cause of others acting contrary to such pious exhortations and recommendations of our superiors, or in doing so oneself. Method for making the general examine. It contains in it 5 points. First point. The first point is to give thanks to God our Lord for the benefits received. Second point. The second is to ask grace to know our sins and cast them out. Third point. The third is to ask account of our soul from the hour that we rose up to the present examine, hour by hour, or period by period, and first as to thoughts, and then as to words, and then as to acts, in the same order as was mentioned in the particular examine. Fourth point. The fourth, to ask pardon of God our Lord for the faults. Fifth point. The fifth, to propose amendment with his grace, our Father. General Confession with Communion. Whoever of his own accord wants to make a general confession will, among many other advantages, find 3 in making it here. First, the first, though whoever goes to confession every year is not obliged to make a general confession, by making it there is greater profit and merit, because of the greater actual sorrow for all the sins and wickedness of his whole life. Second, the second. In the spiritual exercises, sins and their malice are understood more intimately than in the time when one is not so giving himself to interior things. Gaining now more knowledge of and sorrow for them, he will have greater profit and merit than he had before. Third, the third is, in consequence, having made a better confession and being better disposed, one finds himself in condition and prepared to receive the Blessed Sacrament, the reception of which is an aid not only not to fall into sin, but also to preserve the increase of grace. This general confession will be best made immediately after the exercises of the first week. First exercise. It is a meditation with the 3 powers on the first, the second, and the third sin. It contains in it, after one preparatory prayer and two preludes, three chief points and one colloquy. Prayer. The preparatory prayer is to ask grace of God, our Lord, that all my intentions, actions, and operations may be directed purely to the service and praise of His Divine Majesty. First Prelude. The first prelude is a composition, Seeing the Place. Here it is to be noted that in a visible contemplation or meditation, as, for instance, when one contemplates Christ our Lord, who is visible, the composition will be to see with the sight of the imagination the corporeal place where the thing is found which I want to contemplate. I say the corporeal place, as for instance, a temple or mountain where Jesus Christ or Our Lady is found, according to what I want to contemplate. In an invisible contemplation or meditation, as here on the sins, the composition will be to see with the sight of the imagination and consider that my soul is imprisoned in this corruptible body and all the compound in this valley. As exiled among brute beasts, I say, all the compound of soul and body. Second prelude. The second is to ask God our Lord for what I want and desire. The petition has to be according to the subject matter. That is, if the contemplation is on the resurrection, one is to ask for joy with Christ in joy. If it is on the passion, he is to ask for pain, tears, and torment with Christ in torment. Here it will be to ask shame and confusion at myself, seeing how many have been damned for only one mortal sin, and how many times I deserve to be condemned forever for my so many sins. Note, before all contemplations and meditations, there ought always to be made the preparatory prayer, which is not changed, and the two preludes already mentioned, which are sometimes changed according to the subject matter. First point. The first point will be to bring the memory on the first sin, which was that of the angels, and when to bring the intellect on the same, discussing it. Then the will, wanting to recall and understand all this in order to make me more ashamed and confound me more, bringing into comparison with the one sin of the angels my so many sins, and reflecting while they for one sin were cast into hell, how often I have deserved it for so many. I say to bring to memory the sin of the angels, how they, being created in grace, not wanting to help themselves with their liberty to reverence and obey their Creator and Lord, coming to pride, were changed from grace to malice, and hurled from heaven to hell. And so then to discuss more in detail with the intellect, and then to move the feelings more with the will. Second point. The second is to do the same, that is, to bring the three powers on the sin of Adam and Eve, bringing to memory how on account of that sin they did penance for so long a time, and how much corruption came on the human race, so many people going the way to hell. I say to bring to memory the second sin, that of our first parents, how after Adam was created in the field of Damascus and placed in the terrestrial paradise, and Eve was created from his rib, being forbidden to eat of the tree of knowledge, they ate and so sinned, and afterwards clothed in tunics of skins and cast from paradise. They lived all their life without the original justice which they had lost, and in many labors and much penance. And then to discuss with the understanding more in detail, and to use the will, as has been said. Third point. The third is likewise to do the same on the third particular sin of anyone who for one mortal sin is gone to hell, and many others without number for fewer sins than I have committed. I say to do the same on the third particular sin, bringing to memory the gravity and malice of the sin against one's Creator and Lord, to discuss with the understanding how in sinning and acting against the infinite goodness, he has been justly condemned forever, and to finish with the will as has been said. Colloquy. Imagining Christ our Lord present and placed on the cross. Let me make a colloquy. How, from Creator, he is come to making himself man, and from life eternal is come to temporal death, and so to die for my sins. Likewise, looking at myself, what I have done for Christ, what I am doing for Christ, what I ought to do for Christ. And so, seeing him such, and so nailed on the cross, to go over that which will present itself. The colloquy is made, properly speaking, as one friend speaks to another, or as a servant to his master, now asking some grace, now blaming oneself for some misdeed, now communicating one's affairs, and asking advice in them. And let us say, an Our Father. Second exercise. It is a meditation on the sins and contains in it, after the preparatory prayer and two preludes, 5 points and one colloquy. Prayer. Let the preparatory prayer be the same. First prelude. The first prelude will be the same composition. Second prelude. The second is to ask for what I want. It will be here to beg a great and intense sorrow and tears for my sins. First point. The first point is the statement of the sins. That is to say, to bring to memory all the sins of life, looking from year to year or from period to period. For this, three things are helpful. First, to look at the place and the house where I have lived. Second, the relations I have had with others. Third, the occupation in which I have lived. Second point. The second is to weigh the sins, looking at the foulness and the malice which any mortal sin committed has in it, even supposing it were not forbidden. Third point. The third, to look at who I am, lessening myself by examples. First, how much I am in comparison to all men. Second, what men are in comparison to all the angels and saints of paradise. Third, what all creation is in comparison to God. Then I alone, what can I be? Fourth, to see all my bodily corruption and foulness. Fifth, to look at myself as a sore and ulcer, from which have sprung so many sins, and so many iniquities, and so very vile poison. Fourth point. The fourth. To consider what God is, against whom I have sinned, according to his attributes, comparing them with their contraries in me, his wisdom with my ignorance, his omnipotence with my weakness, his justice with my iniquity, his goodness with my malice. Fifth point. The fifth. An exclamation of wonder with deep feeling going through all creatures, how they have left me in life and preserved me in it. The angels, how, though they are the sword of the divine justice, they have endured me and guarded me and prayed for me. The saints, how they have been engaged in interceding and praying for me. And the heavens, sun, moon, stars, and elements, fruits, birds, fishes, and animals, and the earth, how it has not opened to swallow me up, creating new hells for me to suffer in them forever. Colloquy. Let me finish with a colloquy of mercy, pondering and giving thanks to God our Lord that he has given me life up to now, proposing amendment with his grace for the future. An Our Father. Third exercise. It is a repetition of the first and second exercise, making three colloquies. After the preparatory prayer and two preludes, it will be to repeat the first and second exercise, making and dwelling on the points in which I have felt greater consolation or desolation, or greater spiritual feeling. After this, I will make three colloquies in the following manner. First colloquy. The first colloquy to Our Lady, that she may get me grace from her Son and Lord for three things. First, that I may feel an interior knowledge of my sins and hatred of them. Second, that I may feel the disorder of my actions so that, hating them, I may correct myself and put myself in order. Third, to ask knowledge of the world in order that, hating it, I may put away from me worldly and vain things. And with that, a Hail Mary. Second colloquy, the second, the same to the Son, begging him to get it for me from the Father. And with that, the soul of Christ. Third colloquy, the third, the same to the Father, that the eternal Lord himself may grant it to me. And with that, an Our Father. Fourth exercise. It is a summary of this same third. I said a summary that the understanding, without wandering, may assiduously go through the memory of the things contemplated in the preceding exercises. I will make the same three colloquies. Fifth exercise. It is a meditation on hell. It contains in it, after the preparatory prayer and two preludes, 5 points and one colloquy. Prayer. Let the preparatory prayer be the usual one. First prelude. The first prelude is the composition which is here to see with the sight of the imagination the length, breadth, and depth of hell. Second prelude. The second, to ask for what I want. It will be here to ask for interior sense of the pain which the damned suffer, in order that if, through my faults, I should forget the love of the eternal Lord, at least the fear of the pains may help me not to come into sin. First point. The first point will be to see with the sight of the imagination the great fires and the souls as in bodies of fire. Now on page 22. 3, 2, 1. Second point. The second. To hear with the ears wailings, howlings, cries, blasphemies against Christ our Lord and against all his saints. Third point. The third. To smell with the smell smoke, sulfur, dregs, and putrid things. Fourth point. The fourth. To taste with the taste bitter things, like tears, sadness, and the worm of conscience. Fifth point. The fifth. To touch with the touch, that is to say, how the fires touch and burn the souls. Colloquy. Making a colloquy to Christ our Lord, I will bring to memory the souls that are in hell, some because they did not believe the coming, others because, believing, they did not act according to his commandments, making three divisions, first, second, and third divisions, the first, before the coming, the second, during his life, the third, after his life in this world. And with this I will give him thanks, that he has not let me fall into any of these divisions, ending my life. Likewise, I will consider how up to now he has always had so great pity and mercy on me. I will end with an Our Father. Note, the first exercise will be made at midnight, the second immediately on rising in the morning, the third before or after Mass, in any case before dinner, the fourth at the hour of Vespers, the fifth an hour before supper. This arrangement of hours, more or less, I always mean in all the 4 weeks, according as his age, disposition, and physical condition help the person who is exercising himself to make 5 exercises or fewer. Additions to make the exercises better and to find better what one desires. First addition. The first addition is, after going to bed, just when I want to go asleep, to think, for the space of a Hail Mary, of the hour that I have to rise, and for what? Making a resume of the exercise, which I have to make. Second addition. The second. When I wake up, not giving place to any other thought, to turn my attention immediately to what I am going to contemplate in the first exercise, at midnight, bringing myself to confusion for my so many sins, setting examples as, for instance, if a knight found himself before his king and all his court, ashamed and confused at having much offended him, from whom he had first received many gifts and many favors. In the same way, in the second exercise, making himself a great sinner and in chains, that is to say, going to appear bound as in chains before the supreme eternal judge, taking for an example how prisoners in chains and already deserving death appear before their temporal judge. And I will dress with these thoughts or with others according to the subject matter. Third edition. The third. A step or two before the place where I have to contemplate or meditate, I will put myself standing for the space of an Our Father, my intellect, raised on high, considering how God our Lord is looking at me, etc., and will make an act of reverence or humility. Fourth edition, the fourth. To enter on the contemplation how on my knees, now prostrate on the earth, now lying face upwards, now seated, now standing, always intent on seeking what I want. We will attend to two things. The first is that if I had what I want kneeling, I will not pass on, and if prostrate, likewise, etc. The second, in the point in which I find what I want, there I will rest without being anxious to pass on until I content myself. Fifth edition, the fifth. After finishing the exercise, I will, during the space of a quarter of an hour, seated or walking leisurely, look how it went with me in the contemplation or meditation, and if badly, I will look for the cause from which it proceeds, and having so seen it, will be sorry, in order to correct myself in future. And if well, I will give thanks to God our Lord, and will do in like manner another time. Sixth edition, the sixth. Not to want to think on things of pleasure or joy, such as heavenly glory, the resurrection, etc., because whatever consideration of joy and gladness hinders our feeling pain and grief, and shedding tears for our sins, but to keep before me that I want to grieve and feel pain, bringing to memory rather death and judgment. Seventh edition, the seventh. For the same end, to deprive myself of all light, closing the blinds and doors while I am in the room, if it be not to recite prayers to read and eat. Eighth edition, the eighth. Not to laugh nor say a thing provocative of laughter. Ninth edition, the ninth. To restrain my sight, except in receiving or dismissing the person with whom I have spoken. Tenth edition. The tenth edition is penance. This is divided into interior and exterior. The interior is to grieve for one's sins, with a firm purpose of not committing them, nor any others. The exterior, or fruit of the first, is chastisement for the sins committed, and is chiefly taken in 3 ways. First way. The first is as to eating. That is to say, when we leave off the superfluous, it is not penance, but temperance. It is penance when we leave off from the suitable, and the more, the greater and better, provided that the person does not injure himself and that no notable illness follows. Second way. The second, as to the manner of sleeping. Here, too, it is not penance to leave off the superfluous or delicate or soft things, but it is penance when one leaves off from the suitable in the manner, and the more and more, the better, provided that the person does not injure himself and no notable illness follows. Besides, let not anything of the suitable sleep be left off, unless in order to come to the mean, if one has a bad habit of sleeping too much. Third way. The third. To chastise the flesh, that is, giving it sensible pain, which is given by wearing haircloth, or cords, or iron chains next to the flesh, by scourging or wounding oneself, and by other kinds of austerity. Note. What appears most suitable and most secure with regard to penance is that the pain should be sensible in the flesh and not enter within the bones, so that it give pain and not illness. For this it appears to be more suitable to scourge oneself with thin cords, which give pain exteriorly, rather than in another way, which would cause notable illness within. First note. The first note is that the exterior penances are done chiefly for three ends. First, as satisfaction for the sins committed. Second, to conquer oneself, that is, to make sensuality obey reason, and all inferior parts be more subject to the superior. Third, to seek and find some grace or gift which the person wants and desires, as, for instance, if he desires to have interior contrition for his sins, or to weep much over them, or over the pains and sufferings which Christ our Lord suffered in his passion, or to settle some doubt in which the person finds himself. Second note. The second. It is to be noted that the first and second edition have to be made for the exercises of midnight and at daybreak, but not for those which will be made at other times, and the fourth edition will never be made in church in the presence of others, but in private, as at home, etc. Third note. The third. When the person who is exercising himself does not yet find what he desires, as tears, consolations, etc., it often helps for him to make a change in food, in sleep, and in other ways of doing penance, so that he change himself, doing penance 2 or 3 days, and 2 or 3 others not. For it suits some to do more penance and others less, and we often omit doing penance from sensual love and from an erroneous judgment that the human system will not be able to bear it without notable illness. And sometimes, on the contrary, we do too much, thinking that the body can bear it. And as God our Lord knows our nature infinitely better, often in such changes he gives each one to perceive what is suitable for him. Fourth note. The fourth. Let the particular examine be made to rid oneself of defects and negligences on the exercises and additions, and so in the second, third, and fourth weeks.